Let's get started here with a word of prayer, and we'll get into our lesson for this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful that we can honor you and serve you. Thank you that we can praise your name for all you've done for us. Thank you for your watch care over us as we even do daily chores and go about our daily business, that you watch over us and care and have your hand upon us. Just pray that you'll be with us this morning as we open your word and study the book of Psalms once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, we're picking up where we left off last week with Psalm 114. Psalm 114. Key verse we have here, or at least that I picked out here, verse 7. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. You know, the Lord is so often removed that we forget about his great majesty and the awesomeness of his power, that he truly is a God of gods, and that we need to tremble or to remember that God is great. As we look at this psalm, Psalm 114, it's the psalm of the Exodus, and I think you can see it pictured throughout the verses here. And the actual heading here for the outline, no obstacle is too great. When you think of the Exodus, you think of what the children of Israel had to go through just to leave the land of Egypt and to enter the promised land. God truly is a God that's great, and there's no obstacle too great. And this is one of those Egyptian hallels, or those praises that they celebrate over the Passover. And as we look at the actual chapter verses 1 and 2, you can see the picture here of the departing from Egypt to the promised land. And then in verses 3 through 6, you see the parting of not only the Red Sea, but the Jordan River, and what the great power he had to do that so that the children of Israel could walk through the parting of both the sea and the river. And then it ends up here, the last two verses here, and the key verse is part of that. We see his great power, the actual presence of the Lord. Psalm 114 rehearses God's redemption of Israel from Egypt. God acted in history to redeem his people. He came not only to redeem Israel, but to remind them that their situation is the direct result of his gracious work, and that they are part of God's story in the whole earth, his story. And when you think of his story, you think of history. And I've gotten to love history more and more as I've gotten older. And I heard this, of course, in college, that history is his story. But it's a good reminder here that his story is the history of civilization built around one focus point, the advent of the Savior of the world. The world doesn't even think about that when they think of dates, time, but it's all about the Savior coming into the world. We understand that B.C. means before Christ. Before Christ was born. Unfortunately, many of us have been informed that AD stands for after death. Sometime during the 20th century, the real meaning of AD got lost. The 33 years Jesus walked and talked on earth, plus the development of the church he founded, seems to be forgotten. The phrase Anno Domini, year of the Lord, is seldom used. All of history is really his story. God's divine plan carried throughout all the ages in all places. His sovereignty and majesty displayed to the lost and dying world that all should be saved. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 through 6 tells us Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. But so often we forget the history. And that's what this is a reminder of for the children of Israel as they recite here Psalm 114. So as we look at Psalm 114, Lord, you alone deliver your people. He is the great deliverer. And it's evident as throughout history where time and time again. But here's the picture here of delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt. You control all the elements of your creation. I don't know if you want to be sitting there on the shore. You know, Grant and Margaret were up with Duluth last week. They were at the shore, but get the picture. Whether it's the Lake Superior or the actual Red Sea, the parting of the waters. That would have been something to see. Them walking across on dry ground. What a picture. The mighty power of God. He's control of all of his creation. Created me a godly sense of awe of his great power and presence. That was the word that really stuck out to me this week. The awe, the awesomeness of God. You know, when you say, oh, that's awesome. It's nothing in comparison to what God is. The splendor, his power, his majesty, his sovereignty, and on we can go. Thank him for providing for you in unexpected ways. Look at that verse 8. Who turned the rock into a pool of water and the flint into the fountains of waters. I think of that song, Water from the Rock. I mean, he has great power. But you know what? He does it time and time again every single day. No obstacle is too great for our God to overcome on our behalf. He provides us every day unexpectedly. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Thoughts here on Psalm 114. The majesty and power of God. What an awesome God we have to serve and worship today. Any thoughts here? Well, if you look at songs, I think of several, but Wonderful Grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? How shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. Oh, the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Aren't you thankful for his grace? Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. All sufficient for me, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain. Broader than the scope of my transgression, greater far than all my sin and shame. And I love the last part. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise his name. Can you praise his name today? What about tomorrow and the next day? You know, I'm encouraged more and more to just praise him for everything he does. You know what kind of change we could make if people were just praising the Lord for what he's done? The unsaved would say, oh, I want that. I don't know, it's a thought. Eugene L. Clark literally personified the title of his most famous song. Although his fingers once flew across the piano keyboard, he later became a victim of crippling arthritis and also totally blind. When it finally became impossible for Clark to continue to play the organ or piano, he requested that they bring to his bedside a dictating machine. A note, a rest, a bar, and a dot at a time, the machine has recorded the product of his active mind, something that neither total blindness nor crippling arthritis could conquer. Hundreds of gospel songs and hymns, scores of choir arrangements, and three missionary cantatas have flowed through his dedicated heart and mind into the Christian world. His best-known song, Nothing is Impossible, was introduced in 1964. Clark was quick to give credit to his wife with a great deal of the success of his ministry. Her love, her loyalty, and patience were invaluable assets to his work. And I had to put that last part in there because, guys, you know it. We're nothing without our wives, you know. They may be the better half, but they're the better of all of us. So, I mean, he truly was blessed there. But when you look at Nothing is Impossible, I read in the Bible the promise of God that nothing for him is too hard. impossible things he has promised to do if we faithfully trust in his word. Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in his word. Hearken to the voice of God to thee. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon his word for everything. Yes, everything is possible with God. And then that second verse, the word of the Lord is an anchor secure. When winds of uncertainty blow, though man in his weakness may falter and fail, his word will not fail us, we know. Nothing is impossible. Any thoughts here on Psalm 114, or we'll go on? All right, Psalm 128. Psalm 128. This is the last psalm of our psalms here of His Majesty and worship, the fear of the Lord. Psalm 128, verse 1, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Who walks in his ways. The theme, the blessing of family. Is your family a blessing? Is your family a blessing? I love this part, God's benefit package. Talk about benefit packages. Here's the benefit package. Our family. Proclamation of the blessing in verses 1 through 4, and the prayer of blessing, verses 5 through 6. Lead me, verse 1, to fear you and to walk in your ways. To fear you, to do nothing that would displease him. In other words, let's make him proud. Let's make him proud of us and to walk in his ways. Thank you for my wife or husband and children. Your spouse and children are divine blessings. Now, I know there are times, and I've had them, those kids, they do the silliest things, and I tell you, they can be trying at times, but yet they're a blessing. I'm blessed. I'm blessed with my wife. And we looked at here in verse 3, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants around your table. So I said, what does that mean? So I had to look up the olive tree and find out what's going on. The olive tree is very long-lived. The trunks of old olive trees grow to diameters of over 2 meters, over 6 feet. These trees continue to produce ample foliage and fruit. The wood at the center of the aged tree eventually disintegrates, leaving the large hollow trees fragile and vulnerable to damage by high winds. Getting the picture? So what happens? However, the aged olive tree has a way to ensure its own safety. It sends up new shoots from its outlying roots. These small young trees surround their parent tree, serving as windbreaks to help to protect the aged hollow tree in the center. In this case, the center parent tree has died, or at least is obscured, by the densely intertwined boughs of its offspring that encircle it. This provides a graphic illustration of the psalmist's vision of children who surround and support the aged righteous parents. I thought that was a good picture there. Those little roots, those trees intertwining around that center. It gives a good picture here of what it's talking about in verse 3. The children are like olive plants all around your table. You have blessed me beyond all measure. Think about it. You have blessed me beyond all measure. Can you say that? Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Verse 4, behold, thus the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Verse 5, God blesses you out of Zion, and you may see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Fearing and obeying the Lord is the root of all blessing. Or root. I say root. Okay. Then there's a song that's fairly popular today, but I like the words. Some days you may lead me through green pastures. The Lord may lead us through green pastures. Some days he may lead me through the desert. Whatever comes my way, still my soul will say, I am blessed beyond measure. Yeah, it's easy to say you're blessed when you're going through the good times. But you're going through the trials, through the desert, through the hard times. Can you say you're blessed? We can. We're blessed beyond measure. And then it finishes up verse 6. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Give me time to enjoy grandchildren you have given me. Now, I guess I'm looking forward to grandchildren, but not any time too soon. Okay? I'll let God do his work there. But grandchildren are great. You know, you can love them up and then send them home to their parents. You know, you've heard the stories, you know. But you folks that are grandparents, I know, you love them. You want to be able to spend time with them and help them grow and to nurture them into what God would have them to be. And I think that's an important key here. As the family goes, so goes our community, our society, our country. You know, the problem with the world today is not the government, although we can point fingers. But the problem is the family. The deterioration of godly principles in the family. And that is evident through our community, our society, our country. We need to pray for our families. We need to encourage our families. We need to be the kind of example that other families want to be like. A lot of times people say, well, I know growing up, people said, you know, there's something different about your family. The love of the Lord. There's love. I mean, we had yelling. Yeah, we had fighting. I mean, we're a family. But we loved the Lord. And the love of the Lord does so much for the family. Where do you get that love? Well, spending time together. And church, centered around God's word. Thoughts here on Psalm 128. Joel. Exactly. Yeah. We have a lot to be thankful for. And people try to write the book on, you know, parenting. We're always learning. You know, I'm glad we have the Lord, and it's a step by step, day by day. Grant. Correct. Yep. Yeah. God has promised Israel great blessings, and it just admonishes me to pray for them more. You know, I don't know what the Lord has in store for them. You know, there's so much toil and trouble in that area, but we need to pray for Israel, and we have great promises there for us also. Other thoughts? Yeah, it's God's using it as a tool to bring him to himself. And again, it's what we start off with. It's history. It's his story. It's what he's doing to bring them and us to himself. Any other thoughts? All good stuff. I found this quote. Disregard the study of God, and you sentence yourself to stumble and blunder through life blindfolded, as it were, with no sense of direction and no understanding of what surrounds you. This way, you waste your life. You know, more than any other time, you know, this study has just encouraged me to study more and more. And I hope it's done the same for you, because I don't want to sentence myself to stumble and blunder through life blindfolded. There's so much that God wants for us in his word. And not just the book of Psalms. There's a lot more to the Bible than just the book of Psalms. But I'm so glad for the blessing that he's showing us through the book of Psalms. Old song, my tribute. How can I say thanks for the things you've done for me? Things so undeserved that you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Great song. So that finishes up that section of majesty, worship, and we go on to the last section. And, it's been a long road here, but we're on the last section here of praise and joy. Praise and joy. And so we'll be finishing up here in the next few weeks, this section here. But we start off with Psalm 30. Psalm 30. And the key verse I have here is verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And if you look in your New King James, the title or the theme of the psalm is the blessedness of answered prayer. The blessedness of answered prayer. Aren't you glad God answers prayer? Not maybe in the way you want him to answer, but that God answers prayer in his way, in his timing. So as we look at the psalm here of David, joy comes with the morning. Background here is 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. But you break it down into the actual chapter here. Call upon the Lord. Bad times do not bring defeat to the faithful. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that you should not go down to the pit. And then verse 4, sing praise to the Lord. So verses 4 and 5, praise to the Lord. Tears at night, but joy in the morning. Hope is with you, verses 6 through 9, hope in God. And the Lord is faithful. Give thanks to the Lord forever. So, do you praise him for saving you? I praise you for saving me. How often do you do that? Thank him for salvation. When was the last time? Was it today? Yesterday? Has it been a week? You know, we have a great blessing of salvation that we need to thank him for, and we need to share it. And I think that's part of the whole reason why people don't understand what salvation is all about is because they aren't sharing it. And they aren't thanking the Lord for what that they have it. Thank you for healing me. Without you, I am weak and helpless. Aren't you glad that God is a healing God? You ever been sick? Are you over it? God is a healing God. Verse 4, sing praise to the Lord for all you have given me. For all you've given me. Wife, kids, place to sleep. You know, I remember when I graduated from college, you know, college kid, everything that I owned fit in my little Honda Accord. Drove down to Florida, gonna start working as a teacher, you know, making a little of nothing. First thing I wanted to get, a bed. Next, a table. A lot to be thankful for. You know, think about it. Just a kid. But God supplies. Thank him for all he's given you. You know? What does it mean to you? Look at verse 5. You know, this one hit me this week. The key verse, for his anger's but for a moment, his favor's for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. What does weeping endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning mean to you? What does it mean to you? You know, you may be going through trials and troubles. Yeah, there are some times that I've cried and wept. But joy comes in the morning. You know, the morning gives you that fresh start, a new day, a new look on life. Breakfast, you know. But what does weeping may endure for a night, joy comes in the morning mean to you? Thoughts? I know I'm putting you on the spot. Yeah, Grant. You know, you brought out an interesting perspective that I hadn't thought about in this verse. You know, when you think of weeping may endure for the night, joy comes in the morning, you could think about the night being your past, with the Lord, the troubles and the trials that you've gone through in the past. And the joy in the morning is what God has, the blessings he's given you, the praise that can come now. And that's a great perspective. Great perspective of what, you know, yeah, we've gone through trials. But praise the Lord, through those trials, he's brought blessing and encouragement and change. That's what life's all about, changing toward for him, you know. And that's a blessing. Thank you, Grant. Other thoughts? New mercies every morning, grace for every day, new hope for every trial, and courage all the way. Found that little poem, and I said, that's pretty good. I like it. I need to sing praise to him. Do you? Do you need to sing praise to him? Yep, I do. I just can't help it. I just can't stop. I just have to praise him and sing. You know, and you know, it used to be, you know, there are some times where I would never turn on the radio because, you know, but, you know, now that you've got CDs and, you know, back then it was cassettes, you could throw one of those and you could sing along, you know. And you see these people in the cars, you know, and the car's doing this number, you know, kind of vibe. I mean, expanding, I'm going, how in the world, you know, I'm just singing and my mouth will, I mean, it's, I just love singing, but. Teach me to give thanks to you forever. Teach me to give thanks to you forever. And I thought of the grand old song, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. We are blessed with such great songs, such great truths from God's word. You know, we don't have to be singing all about somebody's pickup truck and their dog, and we've got something to sing about. We've got something to sing about. The greatness of God and what he's done for us. To the end of my glory, may I sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Ron Hamilton wrote this song. When shadows fall and the night covers all, there are things that my eyes cannot see. I never fear, for my Savior is near. My Lord abides with me. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease, do they? He gives me peace, he sure does. How can I fear with Jesus? When I'm alone and I face the unknown, and I fear what the future may be, I can depend on the strength of my friend. He walks alone with me. Jesus is King. He controls everything. He's with me each night and each day. I trust my soul to the Savior's control. He drives all fears away. How can I fear? Great songs, great truths. All right, we've got time for, Steve Pettit's song, So High the Price. Lord of glory, reigning in his majesty, ruling long before the worlds were formed, yet in darkness claimed his own, he stepped from heaven's throne to bear a cross and wear a crown of thorns. So high the price he paid, the nails, the cross, the grave. Such pardon he bestowed, such grace he showed. no greater sacrifice. He gave his very life, so deep his love, so high the price. Psalm 33. Oh, forgot about that. Psalm 33, in your syllabus, I don't think I put any key verse down. That was not on purpose. So, do you have a key verse in there? I don't think you do. So, it's like, okay, did you study this week? Key verse. Well, you look through there, and I'm going, oh, well, should I actually make them think this week? You know, I gave it to them for how many weeks, you know, what the key verse may be. You guys got any key verses there that you think are important? Yes, Jenny. Verse 12. And verse 13, you said? 18. All right, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen for his own inheritance. Verse 18, behold, the eyes of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy. Those are good, yeah. Verse 11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. Amen. The plans of his heart for all generations. Anyone else? I know I put you on the spot. Didn't know if I'd get this far this week. So, all right, so I had to go through there and I had to pick some out. So I have verse 1. Verse 12 and verse 22. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Why does he want to hear us praise him? It's beautiful. Why does he want to have us pray to him? Why does he want us to communicate? He's a God that's a jealous God. He wants to have fellowship with us. Verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people he has chosen for his own inheritance. We're chosen for his inheritance. And verse 22, let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. You ever feel hopeless? No reason to. Hope in God. Verse 22. So as we look at the actual chapter, praise the Lord for his works. Praise the Lord for his works. The key to a thankful heart. The key to a thankful heart. Completely trusting the Lord results in a thankful, worshiping heart. Completely trusting. A thankful and worshiping heart. Why should we trust him? We need to completely rely upon the Lord by recognizing the power of his word and completely relying upon the Lord for recognizing the pattern of his works, how he works in our lives. So as we break it down here, verse 1, I praise you for who you are and what you have done. Praise him for who you are and what you have done. Each generation of God's people should expect further cause to praise. So I'm going kind of back. I was thinking about this week, you know, as I'm studying this chapter. You know, we have so much to praise him for. But do you think about what our fathers and our grandfathers, our history, what they had to praise him for? We have so much more, and we need to continue to praise him, not only for what he's done in the past, but what he's doing now and will do. Further cause to praise. We should just be praising him more and more. Thank you for your word, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. Thank him for his word. Thank him for salvation. Thank him for healing. Thank him for his word. And here's that word again. I stand in awe of you. Verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord, and all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. And I just kept thinking about that this week, you know, because it was mentioned in the previous chapter, the awesomeness of God. And I just say, you are so great. You know, I don't deserve anything that you've given me. You're gracious, you're merciful. Thank him for who he is. Thank him for what he does. stand in awe of him. And then verses 13 through 15. You know the heart and thoughts of my neighbors. Help me to speak your word to them. You know, as you look at those verses here, the counsel of the Lord stands, oh, I'm sorry, verse 13. The Lord looks from heaven, sees the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. Gave me an admonition this week as I was looking at that part of the psalm to really be an example to my neighbors and those I'm in contact with. He knows their heart. He knows their thoughts. What's he thinking, or what are they thinking of him and us? They should know we're Christians by what we do, by what we say. Help me to speak your word to them, whether it's through encouragement, through praise, through just saying what the Lord has done for you. Verse 16 and 17, help me to stop depending on my own strength. I thought about that this week, you know, and I thought about how gracious and merciful God is. And, you know, yeah, the Lord got me through this. But many times I say, well, I could have done that without him. You know, you try to do it on your own, there's no way. Stop depending on your own strength. Take it to the Lord. You know, I don't know if it's a guy thing, but many times we try to do it on our own. That we can do it. You know, that's our job. We're the man of the house. You know, we're supposed to be the leader. We're supposed to do this. The leader shows what godliness is like, depending upon him. The Lord is faithful to take care of his people. So thoughts here on Psalm 33. We just hit it real quickly, the highlights here. Grant. Verses 10 through 11. You know, the Lord brings counsel to the nations to nothing. Verse 11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And Grant, you brought out a point there that, you know, yeah, we can say that our nation is blessed because it's founded on, you know, godly principles. But yeah, I don't know that that's for us. That's, to me, that's Israel. They're the blessed nation. Their God is the Lord, the people he has chosen for his inheritance. But yet, there is covenant blessing there that we need to look at for ourselves and claim it for ourselves just as much as the children of Israel, that God is faithful and he'll take care of us. His word shall stand. Other thoughts here. All right, I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed his name to bear. Can you sing that this morning? I hope so. Tell the world that you're a Christian. Well, that's all we have time for. We're on that homeward stretch here. I hate to see it coming to an end, but we're getting near the end here. We've got a few more weeks left. But what a great way to finish out the Psalms. Praise and joy. Let's bow with a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you are a God of gods. Thank you for the covenant blessings that we see here in your word. Thank you for this time to study and to glean from your word all the wonderful things you have for us, that you are an awesome God, to stand in awe of you. Bless our worship this morning. Open our hearts to your word. And let us fellowship with you this morning in praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.